Welcome to the Perspectives with Catherine Toon podcast.
All right, everybody. I just wanted to talk today about overcoming assumptions. You know, when we start off with a faulty premise, we can't help but come to a faulty conclusion. And we do this as human beings all the time about everything, really. But this is particularly profound when we do this with God. Because if you assume that God is angry or distant or disapproving or rejecting or abandoning or whatever, you're going to project that and see that in the Bible, and then it confirms the lie to you. And or you're going to see it in your life, right? This bad thing happened, you didn't care, you're punishing me, whatever the lie is, and that will confirm the lie. And we need to overcome our assumptions. You know, I did an interview with Larry McKnight about meta-narratives, and he was very brilliant about sharing that. And I'm bringing it down to the language of assumptions. This is where we're coming from. And a lot of times, we don't know what we're assuming. And then, you know, we also assume about ourselves, right? We, you know, you've heard the term, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. And that's very true. We're assuming we can, so we're able to fulfill potential. Or we're assuming we can't, and we're not able to fulfill potential. We don't even see potential. And so this is a very real thing about human dynamics. And then we do this with one another. Man, we got issues. And this is level playing ground, because I'm part of the one that has issues, right? We assume that people will reject us, or they will abandon us or whatever. And we project that onto them, and we read things in to what they're saying and doing. And anytime we think we know what someone else is thinking, we have to be really careful. You can look at fruit. You can look at behavior and say, it seems like it could be that because I'm seeing this fruit, I'm seeing this behavior, that you're thinking this. Is this what you're thinking? Right? But making an assumption that we know is prideful and arrogant and puts us in the place of God, because only God sees 20/20. Only God is a just judge. He's the only one that can judge justly, because he really knows what's going on inside us. I mean, half the time, we don't even know what's going on inside us. You know, we may know parts of things, right? And so, you know, we need God. This is the thing. This is the most brilliant statement I've said yet. Because only God sees 20/20. Only love sees 20/20. And our commandment is to love as he loves, right? And so the more we love, the more we're able to see rightly. So a lot of times we need to be relating with people where they're at, while we're seeing who they really are, right? You know, and the thing is this, it's kind of like in marriage. Let's take marriage. you know, if you marry someone with the hope, with the goal to change them, that is the definition of stupid. It's a definition of stupid. Because the thing is, you can see their potential, and you can stand in their potential, but if what you're seeing before you, you're either one, not able to tolerate, two, God is not calling you in the midst of that, in their process, then most likely you're going to end up in divorce court or in something really destructive. And just to tell on myself, I mean, I did that with my first marriage. I always laugh at that because it always sounds like I've got 12. No, I just have two. The last one We've been married for 28 years. It's great. Love him. My first marriage, I was actually with a dude for 10 years. So it wasn't like this was a fly-by-night relationship, but I was very broken and he was very broken. I could see him prophetically because I could see his potential. But the truth was, he wasn't interested in fulfilling that potential. He was invested in staying the same, and he wasn't working on himself. You know, I was not hearing God at the time. I wouldn't have called myself a believer, although I'd had encounters with Jesus, right? My problem was I didn't believe, right? Okay. And I, on the night before I got married, I said, I'm going to make this work. Oh my God. Talk about a setup for failure. And I had actually been going to a counselor for a year, trying to figure out if I should marry this guy. And I remember it was the most shocking thing. She totally lost her professionalism. She finally just said, you're just going to marry him anyway. And probably because I was fighting with her, right? And, you know, and I seriously, I like it dawned on me. Yeah, I was. So I stopped seeing her because I was just, it didn't matter what we were, I was going to do this. And I felt like in my heart of hearts, I couldn't give up on him, which was stupid. I shouldn't have married him in not giving up on him. But anyway, that was just how I told you it was messed up, right? Well, you know, it went from bad to worse. And a year later, I was filing for divorce. This is one of my most hard things about my past because I hurt him so badly. And that's not my heart to hurt him. But I also knew that going forward would be a disaster, right? I couldn't bring kids into that. So not proud at all, just honest. We all have stuff. But my point was, I assumed that because I saw this potential, that he was going to fill this potential. And it was just foolish because, you know, even God, he knows our potential. But he also is constantly working with us to fill that. But he also gives us a free will not to. Okay. And so we have to deal with what's in front of us and be led by God, because sometimes what's in front of us is not great, but God knows there'll be a change of heart. So you know what? I just needed to follow the Lord, but I didn't know how to do that then. So, you know, and that's kind of what that was. And so we need help with our assumptions, and we all have them. You know, it's kind of how we deal with life. We, in order to feel safe, something happens, we make it mean, and we try to figure out what we can expect from life, what we can assume from life, so we can deal with what we have before. And then the antidote to that is going to God and saying, okay, what does this really mean? How do I handle this and being led? But that takes time to develop, and none of us does this perfectly. When I do this perfectly, I will come find you. But, you know, don't hold your breath anytime soon, but I do it well, and I continue to do it, to follow the Lord. Okay, so let's add some scripture around this. Let's go to Psalm 23:7. I'm reading this from the Passion Translation. It says, the context of this is someone who is stingy, who is greedy, who you're dining at the table with. But the line that is pertinent is here, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. Okay. And so this kind of goes along the idea of, if I think I can, I can. If I think I can't, right? And so my limitations are self-imposed, right? And so if I'm giving a limitation that God has not given me, then he's working on healing that, right? So if I think, wow, you know what, I can't, go out and speak as a minister. Well, I put a limitation on, but if the Lord is saying, honey, just come out and speak, I'm like, yeah, but I can't. Well, let me just heal that, because I'm telling you to speak. That's part of one of the you know, limitations in that scenario that I would be placing on myself if that were something I was placing on myself. Because as I think in my heart, so am I, right? So if I think I'm an addict, I behave out of the addiction. That becomes an identity, right? And so I can't overcome who I think I am. If I think I'm whatever, if I think I'm a glutton, well, it's going to be impossible for me to overcome gluttony because I can't overcome who I am if that's who I think I am. So God's going to have to heal how I see myself, what I'm assuming, in order for me to overcome something, right? And God is constantly trying to expand us into his image and likeness in our flavor, right? So, you know, so we need to go to the Lord because he's the only one that sees 2020. You know, now, if I think I can be an NBA basketball star, well, number one, there's levels of coordination that I don't have. And there's levels of height that I don't have. And honestly, there's levels of interest I don't have. This is not what I'm called. I'm not interested in doing that. But if I set myself up for that, if I'm assuming that, okay, you know, there are limitations and how much I assume that, I'm not like, sometimes this is where we can kind of get into witchcraft, where we're trying to control things and make things happen that God is saying no. So he wants us to be healthy in how we're seeing and what we're assuming. That would be kind of a delusion because that's not going to happen no matter how much I want to make it happen. Right? Okay. Let's go to Romans 12, too. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, and be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on what God values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves," I love this part, "what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you." There's a lot there. One of the reasons why I like the Amplified Bible is because it amplifies. It explains itself, right? This is what I mean. Oh, no, this is what, let me speak this louder. Okay. Let me read this in Romans 12 too, and then we'll start unpacking it. Okay. "Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think." How many of you need an overhaul? Oh my God, I need an overhaul. I mean, I'm good. I have a lot of fruit. I need more fruit. I need more of an overhaul. All right. "This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful, satisfying life, perfect in his eyes." Ah, isn't that beautiful? You know, so a lot of times what happens is we let culture, the culture of the world, impose its ideals on us, try to fit us in a mold, in a box, right? The Amplified says superficial values and customs, right? And we're not going to God in the culture of heaven, which is our home. Right inside us right now, we're seated in Christ in heavenly places, but relating to the external world as if it's the one to dictate truth. Okay. So God says, relate to that, relate to me, relate to my culture, right? But be inwardly transformed. So this is an inner work. This is a transformational work. By the Holy Spirit, thank God, this is Holy Spirit's job, and he's really good at his job, and he really loves his job because he's wild about you, right? Through a total reformation of how you think. The word is metanoia, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, being renewed. And this has the idea of renovation. So what is a renovation? It's a little bit like what we've been talking about, deconstruction, but renovation is, and I'm really familiar with this right now. We've had a lot of work on our house recently. It's a tear down. You know, we had black mold. We had to tear down to the subflooring and scrape the subflooring and tear out the drywall and get all the mold out. And oh my God, it was underneath the flooring. And I mean, it was a mess. Okay. This is the deconstruction part of the restoration process. And then it had to be restored and then rebuilt on something that was solid and not riddled with stupid black mold, right? Okay. Through a total reformation of how you think. It says, now, this is beautiful. So as you're thinking more rightly, it's your thoughts that God is constantly challenging you with. Like, we're all believing lies. We are. You want to know why I know this? Because the fruit in our lives. We're not having Jesus fruit everywhere in our lives. You know, we're not, he said, these works are greater works you will do. Well, I'm just trying to get to these works. I don't know about the greater ones, but this is Jesus help me. I'll preach to myself as that. Right? So we all are believing lies. We're all believing limitations. We need an overhaul, right? We need an overhaul. It says this will empower you as we start to overhaul our thinking bit by bit by bit. It says this will empower you. We need empowerment, baby, to discern God's will. God, what is your will? As you live a beautiful life, isn't it? Beauty for ashes. How many of you have got some ashy things going on in your life? How many of you have had ashes? Well, there's a beautiful life on the other side. Only God can do this. And the reason you know he can do this, if you haven't seen it in your own life yet, keep going. But look around and see what he's done in the lives of other people. And he's no respecter of persons. Okay. You're not the exception to the rule. You may be special, but you're not a special case, right? I was somewhere. Oh, as you live a beautiful life, satisfying. Oh, I'm so satisfied. I'm so fulfilled and perfect in his eyes. Now, he's not saying you're going to live a perfect life with no suffering. You know, in this world, you will have tribulation. He promises, right? This is the thing. You live in a fallen world that has not been fully redeemed, but he's redeeming it. And he's causing you to live a beautiful and satisfying life as you continue to follow him. All our pain points, yeah, it's a thing. But you know what? Paul said these light and momentary troubles are working for us. Now, if we're not following God, we're not taking advantage of the troubles. Listen, I'm saying if you have pain, then take advantage of it. Okay. If you're going to suffer, get some pain for your gain. And the way you do that is go to God and let him work it out in you. He's going to be transforming you as he's working things out in your life. And Paul said these light and momentary troubles, they're light in the context of eternity. They're light in the context of what Jesus bore. They may be crushing us, but compared to what Jesus bore, it's light, okay? And momentary, that means they're temporary, are working for you, a more exceeding, something greater and eternal. It lasts for eternity, weight of glory, as this is where you get to partner with God, as we look not at the things which are seen, the yucky here and now, right? But at the things which are unseen. And how can you do that? Well, you allow God to show you. This is you connecting with God. God, what am I not seeing? There's a lot we're not seeing, right? We're not seeing the glory all around us. We're not seeing the glory in us. We're not seeing and connecting with the power that raised Jesus from the dead. We're not seeing how God is redeeming all things in the midst of stuff and no condemnation, but an invitation. If you're going to suffer, make it work for you, right? Let's go to Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. I'm reading this in the Amplified Classic. It says, strip yourselves of your former nature. I'm going to do a caveat here. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self. I would say your old unrenewed mindsets, the strongholds you have, your assumptions that you're having. Put those off. Your nature's already been renewed because Jesus actually did something on the cross. You don't have a sin nature. Your nature is as Christ, as he is, so are we in this world, right? We've talked about this. We were baptized into Christ's death and resurrected with him, a new creature, a new creation, never seen before, right? So we're already renewed, okay? So we don't have a sin nature. What you're dealing with, that sinful, is not a nature. It's strongholds. It's attitudes, it's opinions, it's lies, it's all of those things that are fallen ways that are going on in your mind that are conscious and subconscious. This is what he's working with. We have a fallen will, we have fallen minds, we have fallen emotions, they're all broken. So he's healing the broken places. Okay, strip yourselves off of that, which characterized your previous manner of life, and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. I love this. The reason we have lusts is because we're trying to get for ourselves rather than receiving God's love to provide for us so that we're receiving what he's provided. We don't need to get for ourselves. Now, it doesn't mean like you act like Jell-O and you're just like this passive thing. No, we're following God, empowered by God's spirit, but we're not coming up with our own brainchild. Okay, right? And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. So a lot of this, we need refreshment in our minds, in our attitudes, and God will help you. And he's sending people to you to help you. And he's sending resources to you to help you. And he's talking to you directly. And you're going to your Bible, hopefully in a way that is life-giving and that comes with the right assumptions so you can receive what he designed for you to receive, right? All of these different things. And put on the new nature. Okay, now this put on makes it sound like you put it on, you put it off. Okay, so this is actually not a good translation, but there's some good things about it, which is why I'm giving it to you. This put on is the word enduo. Enduo, I love this word so much, is to sink into, like a robe. Okay, let me sink into, wait a second, I forgot who I was. Let me sink in to who I really am. To sink in like a robe. To cover me. Oh, this fits me. This is who I am. Okay. The regenerate self created in God's image, godlike and true righteousness and holiness. You are as Christ in this world. You may not be acting like it. You may be totally clueless. You may feel like you have more in common with the devil. Talk to the hand because you're God's child. Okay. That just means you're messed up and don't know who you are. And that's a matter of renewing your mind. Let me read this in the Passion Translation. So now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's given you. So you're getting revelation. And instead of fighting it and arguing with God, now, you know, when you're struggling to believe, that's just honest. Like, God, I'm having a hard time believing. You're saying I'm as holy as you are. Well, I'm having a really hard time believing that. Yeah, he goes, well, that's why I'm here, to convince you of what is true about you. Ah, I'm God, I might know. Okay. And be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? As your new life, and live in union with him. Jesus said, as you remain in me and me in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do no dang thing. The Catherine New Revised Standard Version, right? As you remain in me and me and you, you can bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do a lot of stupid things. Did I just gave you an example of stupid, right? That was foolish. It caused a lot of pain and destruction, but I didn't know better, right? Hence the psychologist like, you're just going to do this anyway. But God worked it out, didn't he? Right? He didn't disqualify me and he sent me Brian. And life is good. Life's not always easy. Life has some like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with this, but it's good and beautiful, right? For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness. And you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. You know, the word holiness is from the same root word as wholeness. This is you. Oh my God, you are without spot or blemish in the nature of who you are, the ontology. Who are you? Okay. Who you are is as righteous as Jesus are. Who you are is as Christ in this world. Who you are is just as gorgeous and whole and powerful as Christ is, as your elder brother, as your bridegroom in this world. And Holy Spirit's job is to conform you into that image in your flavor, because it's going to look like you in that, with all this fruit, with the fruit of the Spirit, all these different things that you do, the byproducts of walking this out with God, and fulfilling the purposes that He planned for you, fulfilling those. Ultimately predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And I don't believe any of us will get there on this side of heaven. You know, I really don't. I just think we're that messed up as people. But I think we can make a whole heck of a lot of progress and do a whole heck of a lot of good and enjoy our lives as God is continuing to do this work. And we can have joy and we can have peace in the journey, even as crap's going on. Anybody got some crap going on in your world? Yeah, that's okay. Well, it will be okay. Let me say this. It's not like your suffering doesn't matter. Your suffering matters. And that's why God is love, other giving, self-sacrificial, co-suffering love. He suffers with you. Every tear you're crying, whether it's shed or not, some of us have a hard time shedding tears, right? It matters to God. He's grieving with you and crying with you and bringing you out. And it is amazing how God can do that. It is supernatural how He does that. And he's doing this for every one of His kids, if they'll cooperate with Him. He's still wooing people, whether they cooperate or not. So the fastest way to get over that is to cooperate with what God is doing. So good question is, as you're overcoming your assumptions, I'll never get over this, right? I'll never be loved. I'll never, whatever, you know, all these nevers and always, we tend to be kind of dramatic, but it does how it feels, right? I'll never be able to forgive. Well, that might be true in and of yourself, but you're not in and of yourself. So get over yourself and ask for God's help, and He will help you do what you can't do. Not in your own strength. It is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing, creating in you the power and desire to will and to work for His good pleasure, satisfaction, delight, which is pleasurable, satisfying, and delightful. As the peaceable fruits of righteousness, as we are being disciplined or discipled or taught or disciplined, you know, and cooperating with Him, it's going to yield that. And we get to do that. And we overcome our assumptions that limit us from having life in abundance to the full till it overflows, that limit us in our relationships and all the different areas of our lives. And He's the one to reveal that to us. So just, you know, don't get too intense over it. Just ask the Lord, what's the next thing you have for me? You just do the next thing in front of you. And then after that, you do the next thing. And that's what we're all doing from glory to glory to glory. And it's amazing how it works. And if you're discouraged in the process, I want you to look back over the last year or two and have the Lord help you see the progress that you've already made. Sometimes we look at the mountain that we have to do and we're just like, this is too much. I want to give up, right? But if you look back, you can say, wait. I'm not what I used to be because I've been engaging with the Lord and these things are happening for me. These things are genuine changes. So I'm going to keep on going and do the next step and the next step and the next step and yield that peaceable fruit of righteousness, yield that the beauty in it where He's giving you beauty for ashes and yield and get a satisfying life that has meaning. And where you are experiencing the blessing that you already have, and you can be a blessing one step at a time. Anyway, I hope this has been a blessing for you today. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Perspectives with Kathryn Toon. For additional information and resources, please visit KathrynToon.com.